Hello, welcome to Meaningful Messages with Tamika Smith, your source of inspiration and empowerment. One day, I chose my faith over everything, over second-guessing, doubt, hopeless hope in an abusive relationship to not only survive, but thrive. I chose to be better, not bitter. As a mother, author of several books, and an advocate of domestic violence, how? I discovered my voice. I underestimated myself. My message resonated with many. From Huffington Post, Good Housekeeping, The Renewal Project, TV and radio appearances, this progressive, extroverted introvert decided to share meaningful messages with those looking for a purposeful life. Get ready to laugh, cry, and leave better than you came in. Welcome to Meaningful Messages. Hello, good evening, everybody. Hello, hello. Thank you all for joining us. Welcome to the live podcast version of Meaningful Messages. I am here with the lovely Kira McGuire. And for those who do not know who she is, let me guys give you a brief introduction of Miss Kira. Just a little bit of background, guys. First of all, I need you guys to share, swipe, and invite, and engage. This is a conversation that we're having live because we need to talk about mental health and the importance of mental health. So, Miss Kira McGuire, we go back. We have been in different places of worship. Shout out to Pastor Scott over in Lifehouse Church, and shout out to Dr. Faith over at Legacy Center. Hello, hello, you all. And I hope you guys are being safe out there in these COVID streets, in this COVID world. And life as we know it has changed. It has changed so much. And our mental capacities, and I was speaking with Kira about, you know, something that was going on with me, it can be impacted in ways that we're not aware of. Yeah. And before we even get into that, I just want to give you guys just a brief introduction. Kira, first of all, she is multi-talented. Her and her sister can sing, you guys, not sing, okay? And she's a licensed social worker, she's an entrepreneur, and she has over 3 years of clinical work experience, you all. And it does include working with inpatient, outpatient mental health, at mental health facilities, and developing psychosocial, that's a loaded word, emotional programs for schools and nonprofit organizations. Background from her, she has her bachelor's of social work from UNC Greensboro, and also she went to Central, okay, which she got her master's from Central, and she is the owner of Soul Restoration Counseling Services. And so she does telepsychotherapy service to providers in North Carolina to adults. And so tell us a little bit about how you do your therapy, and especially in the COVID world that we're living in.
Oh yeah. So typically, well, first I'll say this first, just starting the practice was, something that God had given me. And so, I had a series of dreams that I was going to have a baby. I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this mean? And the baby was definitely the business. And so he was prepping me even before the pandemic hit that this was something that he wanted me to birth. And so I've always paid attention to just kind of like trends and, you know, seeing how the world changed. And so I was curious even before the pandemic about how could I, you know, take what I do as a therapist and tie it into this realm where I'm connected via video, internet, and things of that matter. And so I created my practice to be a primarily a teletherapy practice. And so I see all of my clients online, and I see adults across North Carolina. It's really easy and simple. I love what I do. I love the connections I have with different adults across the state. God definitely prepared me to get started. I jumped in right in February, and so everything from that time has been great, and God has been faithful and growing my practice, and I'm booked and busy.
Most definitely. Booked and busy and blessed, honey. And that's good to take that leap. I remember, I think it was over at Lifehouse Church when you were just starting out with social work and everything. And now, listen, I'm right behind you taking that leap in entrepreneurship. And even with that, it can take a toll on you mentally. And then when you add kids and other responsibilities. So we have to have these outlets. And then, you know, a lot of us know church, but we don't know therapy. Or we heard of therapy and we think we're of electroshock therapy. We have all these things when it comes to therapy. And so we just going to have a conversation about it on today. And when it comes to church, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to just taking off these stigmas, because there are so many of them. And I remember a church leader saying that, you know, I would never tell anybody that I'm going to a therapist, as if that was wrong. And God cares about every detail of our life, including our mental health. Oh, yeah. So that's what we're on here today to talk about. And so, Kira, I'm going to go ahead and show that video to everybody. And so we're going to just do a little quick commercial break, and we're going to hop right on into this conversation.
Is that our broken hearts are a vulnerability. They're a crack in our armor. And Satan is able to use them to steal the word. And so you come as wayside soil, bearing those difficult emotions of sadness. And the word falls and you want to catch it, but that emotion overwhelms it and it's gone. As a professional, I would say your mental health is suffering. Depression has set in and you're suffering and it's affecting your spirit. This is why it's not just critical for the church to talk about mental health as some kind of community service. Our spiritual health is dependent upon our emotional health. Our emotional health influences our spirit, and our spiritual health influences our emotions. So if we keep skipping over our emotions, it's going to undermine our spiritual health. Then when we're ready to stand up and walk out our purpose of what God has called us to do, we don't have the strength because emotionally we're not well. And so if you don't want to take care of your emotional health for yourself, if you won't do it for your family, if you won't do it for your loved ones, if you won't do it for your pastor and his wife, do it for the Lord so that you can walk it out, his purpose in your life. Critical. All right, I'm going to keep going because I know I got to hurry up. And I'm only on my first ground. I'm a wayside still. So verse 4 said, Psalm 102, verse 4, my heart is smitten and withered like grass. So that I forget to eat my bread. Anybody ever been so down you couldn't even eat? It's right here. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. This is such a depressed state, so sad that this person is losing weight from not eating. My bones cleave to my skin. And then the birds come in. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and I am as a sparrow alone. Birds, emotion. Pelicans don't belong in the wilderness. They belong by water. Owls don't live in the desert. They live in trees, healthy tree spaces. The sparrow's not supposed to be all alone. And so this person is saying, my emotions, the joy, the positive feelings I should be having, they're not here. I have nothing. So we have to pay attention to our wayside soil. You have to address sadness. I want to give you a few other words to help recognize sadness in your life. There are three primary negative emotions that human beings experience: sadness, anger, and fear. But right now we're on wayside soil, sadness. So some of you are thinking, well, I'm not sad, but I want to give you some other words that are related to sadness in case you can then recognize sadness in your life, because we have very limited emotional vocabularies. Again, our culture doesn't encourage us to be emotionally expressive, so it doesn't teach us how to talk about them. So if I ask you how you feel, you'll be like, I'm good, meh, I'm in my feelings a little bit today. What feeling? Which feeling? I feel in some kind of way. What kind of way? I need you to give me a word, but we don't have them. I'm mad. Oh, I'm tired. We don't have the words. When you have the words, you can better articulate how you feel. You can then bring that to the altar better. You can go to the therapy office and say it. We want you to be able to articulate. So here are some other words besides sadness that are also versions of sadness. Suffering. Anybody can then say, I'm suffering. I'm disappointed. Disappointment. That's a killer. When you have an appointment from God, the enemy will try to disappoint you. Disappointment pulls us right off purpose. I feel shamed. I'm ashamed. Shame is a form of sadness. Some of you are carrying shame from things that you have been through in your life, from abusive situations, from a parent who left you and didn't love you, and that made you feel embarrassed. Like, why would they leave me? And it leaves you with a sense of being shamed. I'm neglected. I'm in despair. Agony. Jesus was in agony in the garden. Agony is a form of sadness. Hurt. I'm sorrowful. I'm dismayed. I have regret. I feel guilty. I feel lonely. I'm grieving. I'm powerless. All of these words are related to sadness. Sadness is the umbrella, but all those words fall underneath. So maybe if you're not sad, you just heard a word that does feel like where you are. And if that's the case, you may be by the wayside right now, but we're not going to leave you there.
And we're not going to leave you there either. Okay. This is why we are doing this podcast, because, you know, there's so much shame. For those who do not know, like my background, I've dealt with domestic violence. And so that triggered, depression. And I didn't realize that you can have PTSD. I'm thinking PTSD, a lot of us associate that with, you know, people in the military, with trauma. You may not have a trauma, but something can trigger you and you can have, you know, some kind of feeling and emotion behind it. And that's where we have professionals just like Shakira that can help you along the way. And something that really stood out with what Dr. Anita Phillips said was, you know, we're not allowed to be expressive as African Americans, as people in the church. We know how to do church, we know the operating, but a lot of people are crying.
Yeah.
So, like, how do we unpack the Bible as it relates to our mental health?
Yeah. I do want to first say that I think one of the main reasons why, and this is just kind of from some of my research that I was able to do in grad school about mental health in the Black church, is that a lot of times there are certain stigmas and notions that we hold on to that keep us from actually being able to even get to the place of processing our stuff. One of those things, Tamika, is this idea of like this strong Black woman mentality, right? Mm-hmm. It not only affects women, right? But it also is something that has found its way even manifesting in the lives of African American men. And so, you know, we hold on to this notion that we gotta, you know, that strong Black woman mentality or concept is you gotta push past it, you know, pray about it, talk about it. We even now have developed it's over spiritualized, where we mm-hmm. are taking, you know, stuff that is just kind of natural and emotional and making it, oh, it's the devil, that's demonic, you know, you just either give it to Jesus, you don't need to talk to nobody, you need to push past it. And so it keeps a lot of us away from actually getting the services that we need. And mental health, I mean, I definitely, you know, I got my scriptures ready. I got it here.
You got it right? Ready, girl. You got it locked and loaded.
I got scriptures right here. You know, the Bible definitely hints and points out the importance of counsel, right? And counsel is really just a place of advice. It's a place of strategy. I think that's the biggest thing that sticks out to me, that counsel is strategy. And being able to have strategy then now pushes us into a place of wisdom. And so a lot of us are carrying stuff that we don't even know that we're carrying, or we're not even trying to work through it. And the Bible even tells us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And wow. So finding a therapist, I'm sorry about my camera messing up a little bit.
We can hear you.
But I finding a counselor, getting connected with someone who can help you, give you some strategy to what's going on, is now going to put you in a place of wisdom so that you can fight these things, even spiritually, that you may be dealing with. So,
and that's good. And a lot of people don't realize the accessibility. And I was blessed to be able to have a company that I was working for at the time that provided EAP. And what that means is that's the, for those who don't know, that's the employee assistance program, where they'll pay for you to go to counseling. They know the job is stressful. Mm-hmm. They know they're stressing you out.
Yep.
And
you have like 5 or 6 sessions.
Yeah, I had 5 sessions, and it'll help your kids too, your dependents as well, your spouse. Yep. And so when it comes to the mind, it's like we, you know, like you were saying, we talk about, you know, the devil did this. And so a lot of the times it's a cop out because we're not taking accountability. We say accountability as if it's a cuss word. We yeah. run away from it. And sometimes we have made some bad decisions, and those bad decisions, it can linger on if we don't deal with them the right way. And we're adults dealing with stuff and traumas and past hurts mm-hmm. and not knowing how to communicate. And then we have these cycles, and we want to pray stuff off. And yeah, stuff can be demonic as well. But I think that by God giving us strategies in the Bible, and just like Kira was saying, counsel is strategy. We can have those deliverance ministries, and we can also, because it is a process, just like the story of the lepers, as they went, they were cleansed. As we go
yes.
through the process and this journey of life, because we're human beings living in a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. I just, why do you think that it's such a disconnect when it comes to that?
That's a good question. You mean as far as a disconnect between people understanding the connection between therapy and deliverance, or in what way?
I mean, because that is loaded, but the disconnect when it comes to therapy and what's in the Bible and connecting the two, like God, like he like overlooks that or something in some cases for some people.
I don't know. That is kind of loaded. I would just say it's just really just the way that a lot of us have been brought up. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still fairly young, right? I'm a millennial, 28, and I grew up in a Baptist church, and so counseling and therapy and mental health was something that was never discussed, you know. And so I think a lot of times people just haven't been exposed or haven't been in areas where that service or is something that's acceptable or, you know, even accessible to obtain. And so a lot of people just don't really talk about it or look at that as a solution, not even in the church. And so I think that is. But I do want to mention something too. You brought up a point about deliverance. And I think that therapy plays a role in deliverance, in the sense of you can get delivered, right? You may be dealing with a spiritual issue and actually get deliverance, but counseling, therapy is now going to be that place where you're going to actually undo some of those patterns. And so that those thought patterns and the way that you think and challenge that negative self-talk and, and all that stuff. So it definitely partners with it. I think therapy is a place of deliverance. I have seen it even in my sessions where I have worked with people who had spiritual issues and they've had spiritual issues and we prayed and I've seen demons come out. I've seen people come in with an affliction of suicide and we prayed and I've seen that thing leave them, but they stayed in therapy because now we still have to deal with the triggers and the stressors that are still present that they need to learn how to mentally and emotionally work through. So I think deliverance and therapy definitely partners with each other. And I think if more believers see the connection between those two, they will recognize how powerful it can be for their own spiritual and just kind of natural lives. So it is a powerful thing to see.
Yeah, and the fact that you can even select, because they ask you when you go through your EAP program, like, do you want, like, what kind of therapist do you want? You might not be Christian. And I knew what I wanted. I wanted an African-American Christian therapist because I know, you know, the spiritual thing. You talk about deliverance and, you know, being, you know, I grew up Baptist too. And that's just something that we knew that therapy was there. But we thought, when I associated therapy, I'm thinking of people in a mental ward. I'm not thinking on the level of, okay, that, you know, there are emotional traumas, there's things going on. And a lot of the conversations are not had because they're, you know, parents are just doing their best.
Yeah.
And just going off of systems and tradition. Right. That happens a lot. And so I know when I was in high school and I took a psychology class, we did a field trip to a mental hospital, and it opened my eyes because I'm like, okay, these are people that look like me. We're around the same age. There's people in, like, different, like, mental health affects everybody, y'all. Everybody. And you don't know how somebody is dealing with something. That's why I always say, you know, be kind to people, be gentle with people, because you just don't know what somebody's going through. A lot of people can easily put on a makeup, put on wigs, and put on a smile and be on Front Street when they're dealing with stuff and suffering in silence. And so God cares so much about our mental health. Yes. And in 3 John 1, it say, beloved, I wish above all things you're getting along well, is your soul is getting along well with each other. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what happens, you know, when you're dealing with emotional traumas, and, like, how does therapy look? How does therapy look?
So, I mean, typically you're going to be, if let's say you're looking for a therapist, right? And so there are different search genres. There is therapy for Black girls. There's Psychology Today. Someone may even refer you to a particular therapist. Even your doctor can refer you to a therapist, right? And so you would reach out to that therapist. Possibly most therapists in private practice offer consultations. And so you'll get a chance to have a conversation with them, see whether or not this is a good fit for you. And that's important because you want to feel comfortable and feel like you have a connection with your therapist. And so being able to ask those questions in that consultation, any questions that you have about insurance, about, you know, their approach, their style, that's important to ask during that consultation. And so from that consultation, typically the first thing that will take place is you would set up an appointment for an assessment. And it's a comprehensive clinical assessment. And in that assessment, you will have the chance, the therapist will assess you to see what symptoms you're actually dealing with, and clinically get the kind of the guidelines to where they should take you as far as services. And once again, sorry about my camera. And so from there, the therapist will be able to now lead you and guide you into setting up a treatment plan, and you will set goals that you will want to work on and achieve in your sessions. And sessions should be something that is natural. Now, for me, I can only speak for my approach. I typically have a very realistic approach to sessions. So I'm raw and real, and no, like, straight, no chaser. Okay, we're gonna cut to it. We're gonna deal with the issues. We're not gonna sugarcoat it. We're gonna lay it out. And so different therapies have different approaches, and so you just have to figure out what fits for you. But therapy is something that is natural. It should feel organic, where you're just talking. It's talk therapy. And so the goal in mind is to get you to go from one place to the other, to be able to heal, to be restored, to be transformed and renewed in your mind. So,
yeah, absolutely. Not somebody I know, my therapist, she always had me cracking up and I'm laughing with her, even though sometimes I might be in tears, but I'm laughing throughout the tears in that moment. And so it's just like a conversation with a girlfriend. And it's as simple as, I know we're in these COVID times, it's as simple as just having like a FaceTime type of conversation. It's not as complicated, and it is kept confidential. You can go over like confidentiality. I know some people, you know, I don't want people knowing my business. So how is, like, when it comes to people knowing your business, like, what limits are there when it comes to that?
Yes. Yeah, so therapists are held by, you know, they have their own set of code of ethics. And then we are under certain rules and regulations through HIPAA compliance laws, confidentiality rights. And so what you say in the session is between you and your therapist. Now, confidentiality breaks when you state that you, let's say you're in a situation of crisis and you're going to hurt yourself, or someone else is going to be, you know, physically at risk, and their safety is now at hand. Confidentiality breaks in that sense, because we are obligated to keep you safe. And so we will, you know, do the necessary means to make sure that you're safe. Other people are going to be safe. So that may look in the sense of report, right? Or, you know, other means. I don't want to scare nobody away, but to keep you safe, right? Confidentiality also looks a little different too when you're using insurances, because if you're using insurance, your insurance has to know that you're in services. And so they can audit your therapist and request to see that you are doing what you need to do and you have the proper documentation. And so in those cases, that's kind of when confidentiality looks a little bit different. But for the most part, what you say in that session is staying in that session with your therapist. Your therapist should not be telling your business to anybody else. If they do, they may need to, you know, you might need to report them, right?
Because yeah, they can lose their license, right?
You can get in trouble. Yes, you are not supposed to be breaking that at all. Telling anybody's business to your friends, even when it comes to like peer, you know, from mm-hmm. the therapist to another therapist, we are still called to maintain confidentiality of our clients. We can consult about our cases, but the confidentiality of you know, that client's personal information is still to be honored. So. For the most part, therapy is a safe space for you to be able to talk about your issues and really put those things out on the table and deal with it. It's different. I will say this too, though, Tamika. It's different from going to your homegirl, right? Or going to your, you know, your buddy, or, you know, talking to a family member. Those individuals typically give advice. Therapists, we don't give advice. Okay, we are not advice givers. We give you strategies that have been backed by evidence. We are, you know, using clinical evidence-based practices that have been proven to be effective for individuals when it comes to dealing with a variety of, you know, mental health issues. And so We're not going to give you advice. You can get that anywhere. And most of advice is like, it's some biases in that, right? So therapists come with a whole nother approach. We have a whole nother perspective on your issues. And so we are to give you tools and strategies so that you can walk it out. But we are partnering with you to see you kind of do that. So it's very different from going to a friend or family who's, you know, going to give you some advice. So that's different.
It's so different. It's different. I'm a certified life coach. I'll be quick to tell people, listen, I am not your therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just here to hold you accountable. I'm not your mother. I got two kids. Last time I checked, two. So listen, it's a breath of fresh air, really, just to have that conversation. And I know when it comes to therapy, when you can talk to somebody and you don't have the bias, you don't have somebody projecting their fears or projecting their motives, because people have intentions and people love us and they want the best for us. And you know, what they'll say, what they want and will do, and they'll have their opinions, just like you're saying. So I'm really glad that you brought up that therapists, they're not here to, you know, give you advice. Is talk therapy. They're helping talking it out and fleshing out whatever issue that you're having. And I know another bias or stigma when it comes to medication. So when it comes to therapy, is that something that you advocate for, or like, how do you deal when it comes to like medication and mental health?
Yeah. So I typically, honestly, from my approach, I prefer clients to see how far we can go in a natural sense of just kind of working through the stressors and concerns. But if there is a need where I'm seeing a little bit more than this being a just an emotional or like dealing with an outside trigger issue, right?
Right.
And we need a little bit more information because it might be something physical, then I would refer that client to be assessed, right, for medication. And so actually seeing a psychiatrist at that point that can assess them to see if they will be a good candidate for medication. But I don't shy away from it. I have clients that take medication, and medication is not a magic pill. Okay. I think it's really standard in the mental health field that just because you are on medication, that it's not going to let your troubles aren't going to go away. You still need to be in therapy to deal with that stuff. And so I do recommend it. I do refer people out when it's necessary, but I do personally take an approach where let's see how far we can get with you in therapy first before we actually do that, because I don't want people to become dependent on just ready to jump on every medication just because they're ready to deal with something. So
yeah, because you know, just like when you're watching these commercials and they talk about all these side effects, and it's like, do I really want to take this stuff?
You gotta look at that. You gotta do your research, and
you have to.
Just can't jump on every medication. I mean, there may not be a popular therapist, but thing to say. But I like to take the approach of let's see how far we can get first naturally. Let's see how much work you can do first for yourself individually. Like, let's see how far we can get before we jump to the medication. But I do think medication is helpful, and I've seen it help people, you know, manage, you know, bipolar disorder and depression and anxiety, and it has been effective in conjunction with therapy. So it definitely plays a big role, and I think it does help people when it's necessary.
Yeah, when it's necessary, because I know back in 2010 I was prescribed some kind of antidepressant. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't like the way that it had me feeling. Like, it had me just sleeping all day. I couldn't function with my kids, and I just felt stuck.
Yeah.
And there was like a lot of pressure going on in my head. And so nothing wrong and not to knock it, because when you're dealing with stuff, you're dealing with chemical imbalances. And so, you know, not to knock it, but therapy, that's a form of healing in the process of it. And so when it comes to that, I think that you got to do what's best for you and have that communication with your therapist, especially if you're trying to get off that medication, because it just brought back a point when you get off your medication, especially if you have severe cases, just like the Chad Willis situation. I don't know if you're aware about what happened with the NFL player and the girlfriend, and he was off his medication and he tried to blame his bipolar situation, and come to find out he had other stuff going on with him and had a history of it. So that was a case where you need to tell somebody that you're not on your medication, because you're not only a threat to people around you, but you're a threat to yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just so many levels when it comes to mental health and the word of God, and not to have any biases behind it. And so, you know, when it comes to COVID, do you see an increase of sessions?
Yes, I have definitely seen an increase. And I think part of that is on one end because people are trying to figure out how to navigate their lives in the midst of this, right? Mm-hmm. So an increase of anxiety and depression. But also I've seen an increase just simply because people now have the ability to actually see a therapist because they are working at home. And so I see a lot of professional teachers and lawyers and doctors and executives right on my computer, and they are sometimes in their offices. They are working right from home. They don't have to you know, get in the car and drive to an office and, you know, drive back and do all of that extra stuff. So I think COVID has increased on one end, caused people to seek out services more just because they're trying to work out stuff, but also on the other end, because it's just more accessible now because you're at home. And most therapists now are online, even if it's just like temporarily, but most therapists are online because, you know, they want to stay safe too, and they want to keep their clients safe. And so it's just it's easier to do therapy that way.
Mm-hmm. And do have one more question before we close out. A lot of people think that, you know, therapy is for the rich and famous. It's for the people that, you know, just influencers, and, you know, it's like a buzzword now about the therapists. Like it's, I don't know, but tell the people that it is affordable and how they can have it for them, how it's accessible for them.
Yeah. So it's a lot of different options. So, one, right? So if you don't have insurance, and so if you do not have insurance, there are agencies that do take people without insurance, and you don't have to pay out of pocket. And so I know in particular in the Triangle area, there are agencies that the MCO has funding under IPRS. And so individuals who don't have insurance can receive up to 12 sessions a year for free. And so you would just simply need to, you know, connect with an agency that provides that service. If you find an agency and you want to ask them, do they provide that service? And they do, great, connect with them, get started. So that's one option, right? Another option is if some therapists also offer sliding fee scale rates. And so you may look at a therapist's website and notice that they're charging this, but if they offer a sliding fee scale, then they may significantly reduce that based upon your income. So in order to work with you so that it's more affordable. That is a service even I offer, but most therapists offer that as well. And then of course, if you're not just quite ready to enter into, you know, just, you know, paying out or whatnot, you're still kind of nervous about it, there are, you know, certain therapy subscription programs, betterhelp.com, that can be helpful in a sense. I think it is good, but I would recommend that you do seek out a therapist that can work with you financially, that possibly do offer IPRS and, I'm trying to also think, is one additional service, Tamika, and I cannot think of it off the top of my head, but there is an organization that connects a collective of therapists that offer low price therapy sessions, as low as like $30 a session. And so if I can figure that out, I can send that to you. And if you want to share it with your audience, that'll be great. But even with insurance, most insurances also give you a mental health benefit. And so if you have that, I would seek it out and see what your insurance covers. You may be paying as low as $15 just for a copay, and your insurance covers the rest. I've personally seen insurances really step up in the midst of COVID and actually offer free services for some of their clients, for their individuals. So that's something to look into as well.
Yeah, you would be surprised. I have a friend of mine that works at Starbucks, and she says they have a really great plan and they cover 20 sessions. I'm like, Starbucks doing? You guys would be so surprised if you would just look, and you know, when you're filling out your paperwork when it comes to the benefits, look at that, because especially now, and sometimes life will hit you, and you need to have those strategies, those tools. Yes, we have strategies when it comes to prayer, when it comes to church, when it comes to getting our life together. But a part of getting our life together is to be mentally stable. Yes. When you're mentally stable, it will reflect in everything in your environment and just your whole life. And so, you know, that's why I'm doing this mental health series. And I know it's International Women's Day and all of that, and we celebrate women and women's empowerment. But another facet of mental health, it includes our men, and a lot of them get excluded out. And I do want to ask you before we hop off, when it comes to men and their stigmas and their biases and them not opening up, like, what is your approach when it comes to men seeking therapy?
Yeah, I wish more men would seek out therapy. And I have to say, especially our African American and minority men, I really wish that they would seek it out. I definitely think that there are some factors that play a role into why men don't seek it out as often. Part of it is, you know, not enough men are actually still in the mental health realm. So any men out there that is interested in becoming a therapist, please do it. Okay. Like, we need you, the field needs you. It's still a kind of, you know, woman dominated field. And so I think that plays a role in it, but I do serve men, and I am big on just validating their emotions. And men feel just like women feel. Okay. God has given us all the same emotions. We all come pre-wired emotionally in the womb. Okay. God has wired us to be emotional. And so, you know, men feel as well. And so for me and my approach, I just like to really just validate them and make them feel like they are heard and they are respected, and that it's okay to cry, it's okay to be happy, and it's okay to fear, and it's also okay to be going through certain things that are tough. And I think our men just really need a safe place to be heard. And so therapy is definitely a great place for them to get that. So yeah. I hope that answered your question. That is a really big thing for me. And I just wish it was more men therapists as well. I just really wish it was more men therapists.
Yeah, and that's definitely a topic that I'm going to discuss in this series, because I know with my boys, it's like, it's okay to cry. I'm not going to tell you not to cry or man up. You know, that's a beautiful thing when a man can cry and to be open with you. And women, we can't emasculate the men either if they are sharing their emotions with you. and talk down to them and be verbally abusive to them as well. I think it's so important, you know, to build families up, and a part of the family is a man. A lot of us are dealing with single parent households or grew up in one because of a lack of a man. And so we need to know how to communicate better so we can have relationships that last longer. We can have marriages that last longer, so we can know what a healthy relationship looks like.
Yes.
And so it's so, it's just so much to uncover. And, you know, my final thoughts, if I can say it in a minute, is just, listen, therapy is okay to talk to a therapist. I always say it jokingly, but I'm so serious. You can love Jesus,
yes, you can.
And you can see a therapist too.
Yes, you can.
You can. It's nothing wrong with that. I don't care what your mama, your daddy, your best friend, I don't care what anybody, your bae, even your bae,
yep,
what they got to say about it. And so a lot of people can project their fear or their stigmas just because they don't know. People perish because of a lack of knowledge, and they just don't know. So this is why this has been like heavy on my heart, to just talk about mental therapy and the whole Meghan Markle. Did you watch that interview?
I saw some clips of it, but I definitely can see how those pressures cause her to be in that place, right, of suicide. And yeah, it's real. Mental health is real, and it affects everybody. We all have a mental health that we have to uphold and work through. And so, you know, yeah, it is a real thing. And I'm glad you, Tamika, I will say that I appreciate you like bringing this to your platform and doing this, because this is a needed conversation to continue to have. So I appreciate you, you know, being willing to talk about this, doing a whole series on it. I'm excited to listen in to some of the other guests that you're bringing, but definitely necessary to, you know, to have conversations.
Thank you so much, because it is very necessary, and we can have so many conversations about these celebrities and what they're doing and who they doing it with, and just to see, you know, Meghan Markle, and to know, you know, because, you know, I've had those thoughts, to be honest with you, and to know that for her to deal with all those situations, and it's relatable.
Yeah.
Me talking to it, us talking about it, is relatable. A lot of mental health professionals, they seek therapy too, because they are listening to so much trauma and issues themselves. Yes. And it is a lot.
Yes.
It's a lot to deal with. And it can, because we're human, we can have these emotions. We may not can show them when we have our client sessions, even as a certified life coach. Mm-hmm. After I click in, I could be sitting in my laptop in tears.
Yep.
For something I've heard. Mm-hmm. It's real, guys.
It is.
It's so real. And so we're going to continue on this conversation on Mondays. It's going to be up until mid-April. Guys, if you're a mental health professional, I want to talk to you. Let's have this conversation, because it's so much needed out here. And I'm going to put how to connect with Kira as she goes through her final remarks. And thank you guys so much for listening on this meaningful message, because it's so necessary. So any final remarks?
No, I'm so thankful. I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of this. If anyone is interested in connecting with me, I guess I'll plug myself here. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm putting up your website now.
My website, so you can check out my website, soulrestorationcounseling.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Therapy by Kira, K-E-R-I-A, and connect with me there. So, yeah, I appreciate this. Like I said, this is a needed conversation to have. I love Jesus, and I definitely think that having a therapist is necessary and okay for you to have too. You can have both, and I think it works. I think it works.
It definitely works, and I'm sure you have a lot of success stories behind what you've done so far. And girl, don't knock your age, because you got so much wisdom. You're a good teacher, and you can sing. you and your sister, y'all can sing. Check them out over there in Legacy Center Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Oh, it's in Cary. But yeah, they can sing. They can really sing. So I really do appreciate all that you do and what you continue to do. And I know that God is going to bless you beyond your own wildest imagination as you do what it is that you're called to do. And you're a servant leader. And so I just don't want you to minimize what you do and your age, because you're so very necessary out here for the kingdom of God. So I'm godly proud of you. And we've been following each other for quite some time. And I just want to say that publicly for you. And you guys, thank you all for tuning in. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or to Kira, and we can get you steered in the right direction. Even if you're not in North Carolina, listen, if there's a will, there's a way. This is community. This is safe space. You don't have to worry about me sharing your personal business on these social media streets, because I personally don't like that when it happens to me. Yeah. So you guys have an amazing week. My watch going off talking to me. But you guys have an amazing week, and I'll talk to y'all soon.